stanza one.
第一节.
There's a man in
Jesus Christ.
在主耶稣基督的名里问候大家。
The word from the Lord this morning is change your paradigms.
那今天主给我们的话语是改变你的样式。
The word paradigm is derived from a Greek word paradigma.
这个 paradigm 是希腊文的一个词汇，讲的就是样式。 Turn it on.
Once again, the word paradigm is derived from a Greek word paradigma.
这个 paradigm 这个词呢，是从希腊文的 paradigma 来的。
The English translation is pattern.
在这个英文的里面，或者在其他的语言里面翻译出来就是样式。
However, the meaning of paradigma is more expansive than the English translation pattern.
但其实呢，是在希腊文的这个词里面，比英文里面的或者所有语言里面的样式呢，意思更多一点。
Please do not think that I know the Greek language. I attempted to learn the language when I was in my 30s, but was unsuccessful due to the limited availability of services at that time.
大家不要以为我是。 很熟悉希腊文，虽然在30岁的时候我试着去学，但因为那个时候的资源不是那么丰富，所以我学的不是很好。Thanks
to the availability of resources today, I've been able to educate myself on the meaning of this term paradigma, which enables me to discuss it today.
但是感谢神，因为现在的资源非常丰富，就让我可以多了解，比如像 paradigma 这样的词，然后跟大家来分享。
We will now read one verse to meditate on our subject, change your paradigms.
所以今天当我们来一起思想改变你的样式这个题目的时候，一起来先看一处章节。
2 Corinthians 5:17, it is a memory verse.
就是哥林多后书的5:17，这应该是我们背的章节。
2 Corinthians 5:17.
哥林多后书5:17。
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
若有人在基督里，他就是新造的人，旧事已过，都变成新的了。
Let us now replace the word things in this verse by the word paradigms and read.
那我们把里面的这些事换成样式的话，再来读一遍。
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old paradigms are passed away. Behold, all paradigms are become new.
若有人在基督里，他就是新造的人，旧的样式已过，都变成新的样式了。
As I was meditating on this subject, I had 2 dreams in one night.
当我在默想这个题目的时候，有一天晚上我就做了2个梦。
One is related to our subject, and the other is not.
有一个梦呢是跟今天的题目有关，但另外一个却没有。
Nevertheless, I will share both.
不管怎么样，我两个梦都跟大家来分享。
I dream a lot.
我经常做梦。
Dreams are good.
做梦是好的。
When God cannot speak to us in the daytime, He speaks to us in the nighttime in dreams.
有的时候神不能在白天向我们讲话的时候，就在晚上借着梦向我们继续说话。
My wife, she likes my dreams because I get her a lot in my dreams.
我的妻子很喜欢我的梦，因为在我的梦里经常会梦到她。
That's why I tell her, you are my dream girl.
所以我就跟她讲，你是我梦想的女孩。
In my first dream that night, she appeared more beautiful than ever.
在我的第一个梦里呢，她的出现是比以往更加的美丽。
I told her about my dream, and she listened to it as happily as ever.
然后我就把我这个梦告诉她之后，她当然也像以前一样非常的开心。
After I had second dream, I said to her, I had an interesting dream. Can I tell you?
然后当我做了第二个梦之后，我就跟她讲，我又做了一个梦，要不要我告诉你？
She said, not now. You will lose sleep. You better sleep.
然后她就说，不要，不要现在，因为你如果这样的话，那你的睡眠就不足了。
Here is that second dream.
那这个就是第二个梦。
Slide 2, please.
第二个。
A man appeared to me in the dream.
在这个梦里面呢，有一个人站在我面前。
He was a simple man from a third world country.
他是从第三世界来的一个原始的人。
Out of the blue, I wanted to explain to him what the paradigm meant by.
那不知道为什么，但我就想跟他解释一下关于这个样式。
But his level of comprehension was low to grasp the technical term such as paradigm.
但是呢，他的理解能力很差，所以呢，对于这个样式里面那些技术性的词汇，他很难理解。
Fortunately, slide 3, please.
那值得庆幸的就是下面一个投影。
He had an iPad in his hand on which I could write and explain to him what the paradigm meant by.
他手里有一个 iPad, 所以呢，在这个平板里面，我就可以来写，来告诉他，来解释这个样式的事。
We both were standing facing each other.
这个时候，我们两个人是面对面的。
I told him to open his iPad.
我就让他把这个 iPad 打开。
Slide 4, please.
然后现在就是第四个。
I then wrote the number 6 on his iPad from my side while he was holding it in his hands.
那当他把这个平板拿在手里的时候，我就从我这个方向写了一个数字6。
Then I asked him to read that number from his side.
这个时候我就让他读一下这个数字，从他那一边。
I anticipated him to read that number six as nine, as that's how that would appear to him from his side.
我是期望他读出数字六，但其实从他那边是一个数字九。
But he was confused.
但是他呢却很迷惑。
Because.
因为。
Slide five, please.
在第五个。
He only knew number nine as a circle with a vertical line drawn downward from the right side of the circle.
他所知道的九就是一个圆圈，然后在圆圈的右边有一个竖线画下来。
He was not accustomed to the curve below the vertical line of that digit number nine.
所以他呢，完全不熟悉原来九字呢是在竖的下面还可以有一个弯钩。
Then I educated him that the number nine could have a curve below it, and that's how it would appear in print.
然后我就向他解释，这个九字啊，这个竖下面会有弯钩，而且很多打印出来的字都是这样的。
And he overcame that confusion.
然后这个时候他就胜过了这个迷惑了。
Slide six, please.
下面。
Then I wrote another number. Number 19 on the iPad from my side while he was yet holding it in his hands.
那这个时候他把平板放在手里的时候，我就又写了一个数字，就是从我这边是十九。
Then I asked him to read that number from his side.
这个时候我就让他从他那边来读这个数字。
I expected him to read that number 19 as 61, as that's how that would appear to him. From his side.
那我期望的呢，就是把这个数字十九从他那边呢读成数字六十一。
To my surprise, he read that number as seven.
那很惊奇的就是他读出来是七。
I immediately knew where he was coming from and realized that he needed a significant help in understanding it in my point of view.
这个时候我就意识到啊，要从他那边要有一个极大的帮助，他才能懂得我这边的观点。
To clarify, I requested him to first read each digit in the two-digit number separately.
那为了让这个事情清楚的可以被解释呢，我就让他先把这个两位数的字呢一个一个读出来。
He correctly read the first digit as six.And the second digit as one, as they appeared to him from his side.
所以他就正确的从他那边读出来，先是数字六，然后是数字一。
Then I asked him to read both the digits together.
这个时候我就让他把两个数字一起读。
He read like this.
他是这么读的。
Six and one together, seven.
他说六跟一一起就是数字七。
I then explained to him.I do not mean six plus one together.
然后我就解释说，我不是期望你把六跟一加起来。
I mean six and one together as a two-digit number.
我的意思是六跟一一起是一个两位数。
That clicked in his brain, my point of view, and he understood that number correctly as 61 and also as 19 from my end.
然后这个时候他就都明白了，不光他知道哦，原来这是一个两位数六十一，而且他知道从我这边呢是十九。
At this point, I woke up.
这个时候我就醒了。
In this dream story, we observe that a single number can be perceived in three different ways.
那在这个梦里面呢，我们可以看到一个简单的数字，却可以被理解成三种不同的结果。
As 19.From one perspective, as 61 from the opposite perspective, and as 7 from the perspective of a person with a low comprehension.
那就是可以被理解成19或者61是根据你在哪个方向哪个角度，而且呢还可以被理解成数字7是因为这个人的教育程度比较低。
This is a good example for what a subjective paradigm is.
这个就是一个很好的解释，关乎样式这个词。
There are two kinds of paradigms.
有两种样式。
Slide seven, please.
下面一个投影。
One, the subjective paradigm, and two, the objective paradigm.
这两种样式，一种是主观的样式，一种呢是客观的样式。
I would like you to remember these two.
我希望大家能够记住这两个。
The subjective paradigm and the objective paradigm.
就是一个是主观的样式，一个是客观的样式。
What we have seen in my dream story was the subjective paradigm where a single number was perceived in three different ways.
那在我刚才讲到的这个梦里面呢，我们可以看到啊，这个主观的样式呢，可以让一个数字呢被理解成三种不同的啊，在三种不同的方式里面。
To put it simply,
或者简单的说
，Slide 8, please.
下面
，A subjective paradigm is the way we perceive or look at.
这个主观的样式呢，就是我们意会或者查看事物的方式。
This is a simple definition of subjective paradigm.
这个是关于主观样式一个很简单的定义。
Later, I will give you a comprehensive definition.
那后面呢，我会给大家一个更全面的一个定义。
But this simple definition is enough for our purpose.
但现在来讲，这个简单的定义已经足够了。
This subjective paradigm is one of the two paradigms.The other being the objective paradigm, which we will explore later.
这个主观的这个样式呢，是跟这个客观样式有关的。等会儿我们会讲到客观的样式。
Let me repeat the simple definition of subjective paradigm.
那我现在再来重复这个关于主观样式的简单的定义。
Subjective paradigm is simply the way we perceive or the way we look at.
这个主观的样式呢，就是我们意会或者理解或者查看事物的方式。
In the dream story,
在这个梦里面
we later saw when the person with the low comprehension was educated, his subjective paradigm was changed, and thereby he could understand the number correctly as 61 instead of 7 and also as 19 from my end.
我们可以看到，虽然这个人教育程度很低啊，但是呢，他这个主观的样式被改变了。当他接受了教育之后，这个时候他可以理解到这个数字61，或者从另外一个角度，原来是数字19。然后呢，他可以知道这个数字7，他也知道这个到底是怎么回事。
This is known as a subjective paradigm shift.
这个呢就被称为主观样式的一个转变。
It is the shift that removed his ignorance on the matter and shifted him from ignorant state to informed state.
这个转变呢就把他的无知可以除去，让他呢在这个见识上就是让他可以从这个无知的状况可以转到有见识的一个地步。
I will now give you the comprehensive definition of subjective paradigm.
那现在我再把这个主观样式这个全面的解释给大家。
Slide 9, please.
下面。
A subjective paradigm is the pattern or the way an individual or a group of people perceive, look at,think, understand, view, believe, imitate, follow, interact, set mind on, live a life, etc.
这主观的样式呢，就是个人或者一群人他们的样式或者他们的形式，这包括他们怎么样去意会、去理解、怎么样去查看、怎么样去思想、去明白看法、他们的看法、他们的相信、模仿。跟从相互的影响定义生活等等等等。
And a subjective paradigm shift means changing that way to a new one.
那这个主观样式的改变呢，就是从一个这个方式到另外一个方式。
As a matter of fact, the essence of the Christian gospel is that only, that is, change the way you think and act, which in one word is repent.
其实我们基督徒的这个福音呢就是这样，就是我们改变了我们的思想或者动作方式那这个词呢可以总结在一个地方，就叫悔改。
In Greek, it is metanoia.
在希腊文里面叫做 metanoia.
Meta means change, noia means mind. Change your mind.
这个 meta 讲的是改变，这个noia 呢是讲到心思，所以加起来就是心思的改变。
This shift or this change in the way of thinking can lead to a significant change or transformation in an individual's or a group of people's beliefs, behaviors, and overall approach to life.
这个思想上的改变或者转换呢，它会带来个人或者团体在信仰里面，在行为上，在生命的各样式的处理上面一个极大的改变和转换。
Therefore, a subjective paradigm shift plays a vital role in nurturing our personal growth and development.
所以这个主观样式的改变呢，就在这个滋润我们每个人的成长和建造上面扮演了一个很重要的角色。
We will now explore what the objective paradigm is.
现在我们来看看这个客观的样式又是什么。
To put it simply,
简单的来讲，
Slide 10 please.
下面。
An objective paradigm is a model or a pattern that we follow.
客观的样式呢，就是我们去遵循的一个模型或者模式。
This is the other one of the two paradigms.
这个就是两个样式里面的另外一个。
First one was the subjective paradigm, which means the way we perceive or look at.
那第一个呢？样式就是主观的样式，代表我们怎么样去理解、去查看事物一个方式。
Second one is this objective paradigm.
那第二个呢，就是这个客观的样式。
Remember this simple definition also.
那大家也希望能够记得这个简单的定义。
Let me repeat it.
那我再来说一下。
An objective paradigm simply is a model or a pattern that we follow.
客观的样式就是我们遵循的一个模型或者模式。
For example,
举一个例子。
Bible is the objective paradigm for Christians what they follow.
圣经就是我们基督徒要去遵循的这个模式。
Torah that contains 10 commandments is the objective paradigm for Jews what they follow.
那这个妥拉呢，就是犹太人他们所要遵循的，包括十诫在里面。
Quran is the objective paradigm for Muslims what they follow.
那这个可兰经呢，就是穆斯林他们所遵循的一个客观的样式。
Or Jesus for Christians, Moses for Jews, Muhammad for Muslims are the objective paradigms.
或者说对基督徒来讲就是耶稣，对犹太人来讲就是摩西，那对穆斯林来讲就是穆罕默德。
By a comprehensive definition,
那一个全面的解释呢？
Slide 11, please.
下面。
An objective paradigm is what an individual or a group of people set their mind on or set their eyes upon to follow, such as a pattern,an example, a model, a blueprint, a map, a principle, a law, a standard, a reference, a concept, an idea, a spiritual being such as a god, a deity, or even Satan, celestial bodies such as a sun, moon, and a star, a creature such as a man or an animal, etc.
那这个客观的样式呢，就是个人或者团体定义或者注释所跟随的，就如格式、范例、模型、蓝图、地图、原则、法则、标准、参考、概念、构想，或者一些属灵的，比如神或者神灵，甚至撒旦或者天体，比如太阳、月亮、星星或者生物， 或者一个人或者一个动物或者是其他的。
Essentially, is an objective paradigm serves as a guiding pattern.
或者简单的讲呢，基本上来说，客观的样式就是我们所遵循的那个模式。
In life, change can occur for various reasons.
在我们的生命里面呢，事情会转变，因着各样的不同的原因。
Such as when an individual or a group of people recognize what they have been following is wrong.Or is no longer effective, or has become obsolete.
就比如啊，一个人或者一群人，他们认识到呢，他们跟随的是错的，或者是没有效用的，或者已经过时了。
This recognition can lead to the adoption of a new objective paradigm.
那这个时候呢，这样的认识就让他们来接受一个新的这个客观的样式。
This process is known as an objective paradigm shift.
那这个呢，就被称为一个客观样式的改变了。
This paradigm shift can bring about a significant change or transformation in people's beliefs, behaviors, and overall approach to life.
那这个样式的改变呢，就可以在一个人的信仰、行为生命各样式的处理上面会带来极大的改变或者转换。
However, it is important to note that every paradigm shift will result in changes in life one way or another, but not every paradigm shift will result in a spiritual transformation.
那不管怎么样，知道这一点就很重要，就是每一个客观样式的转变都会或多或少在我们生命里面带来所带来的转变，但不是每一个这样的转变呢都会带来属灵上面的转变。
Only when we recognize the uselessness of our old life and old paradigms and take in the Lord Jesus.And allow him to renew our mind, will that then result in a spiritual transformation?
所以只有当我们认识到我们这个旧生命这个旧样式毫无用处的时候带进主耶稣让他来更新我们的心思，才会带来属灵上的这个转换。
This brings in new life and new paradigms.
那这个会带来新的生命，也带来新的样式。
This we can call it a Christian paradigm shift.
那这个我们就称之为基督徒样式的转变。
So, slide 12, please.
那下面。
Christian paradigm has two aspects.
在基督徒的样式里面有两方面。
Number one, Christ as the pattern to be followed.
基督第一点，基督是我们跟随的榜样。
Number two, mindset of Christ as a logic to follow that pattern, the Christ.
第二点呢，就是基督的心思可以作为我们遵循这个模式或者遵循基督的逻辑。
To understand, excuse me, to understand the subjective and objective.Paradigms, let us consider a car navigation system as an analogy.
那当我们来思考这个主观样式、客观样式的时候，让我现在用这个汽车的导航来做一个比喻。
There are several key components in the navigation system.
在这个导航系统里面有一些重要的组成部分。
Two of them are,
其中的两个就是
one, an internal map that accurately corresponds.To the real roads of the world, including turns and curves.
就是一个是在里面的地图，这个地图呢是来对应在现实生活里面的那个路的每一个转折，还有它的所有的弧度。
Two, a logic system that utilizes this internal map to navigate the vehicle.
第二个是一个逻辑的系统，它呢就使用这个里面的地图。来做这个汽车的导航。
The internal map represents the objective paradigm that serves as the pattern to be followed.
那这个里面的地图代表的呢，就是那个客观的样式，就是我们要遵循的一个样式。
And the logic system represents the subjective paradigm, which understands this internal map and utilizes it to make decisions regarding the best route to take based upon driver's preferences, traffic conditions, and other situational factors to guide to the destination.
那这个逻辑的系统它代表的呢，就是一个主观的样式，它懂得这个里面的地图，然后用它作为样式呢，就找到一个最佳的途径，而且呢，根据这个驾驶者他的一些选项，根据交通的状况，还有其他的因素呢，以此来做决定，最后达到要去的这个目的地。
If either the internal map or the logic system is not accurate or is corrupted, it will lead the vehicle in a wrong direction, resulting in wrong destination.
那如果这个里面的地图或者这个逻辑的这个操作系统它不准确或者损坏了，那就会把这个车带到错的方向，也不会也会去到一个错的目的地。
I will give you an example of what can happen in our real life if our internal map or the logic system is not accurate or become corrupted.
那我就给大家一个现实生活里面的一个例子，就讲到这个里面的地图或者这个逻辑操作系统它不准确或者损坏之后能够带来的是什么。
Once I went to India by myself, leaving my wife and son at home in Beaumont, Texas.
有一次呢，我自己去印度那我的妻子跟孩子们呢，他们就留在这个 Beaumont。
On my return journey to USA, I made a stopover in Dubai.
那在我回来的路上呢，是要在迪拜这个地方停一下的。
I stayed in a hotel and rented a car with a navigation system.
那这个时候呢，我在酒店停留的时候就租了一个车，而且呢就是那个有提供一个那个导航系统给我。
I decided to visit Abu Dhabi, which was about 90 miles by road from Dubai.
那我呢就决定去这个阿布扎比。这个阿布扎比呢是离这个迪拜有90英里左右。
Using the navigation system, I successfully drove to Abu Dhabi, explored a few places there.
那借着这个导航系统呢，我去到阿布扎比，而且在那里去参观了一些地方。
However, on my late night return journey, the navigation led me in the opposite direction, taking me toward another country.
但是呢，在晚上回去的时候，这个导航的系统呢，在回家的路上却把我指到另外一个国家。
That country was
反方向。
That country was Oman, which was about 100 miles by road from Abu Dhabi.
那这个国家呢，就是阿曼。这个阿曼呢，是从阿布扎比大概有100英里。的地方。
By God's provision, my wife was tracking my progress on her iPhone from home.
那在神的供应里面呢，我的妻子在家里面呢，在那个手机上面可以看到我去到哪个地方。
She noticed that I was going in the wrong direction.
然后在看到我位置的时候，她就意识到我原来开的是一个反方向。
She immediately alerted my son, who promptly called me and said that I was going in the opposite direction.
然后呢，他就让我的儿子打电话给我，告诉我原来我走的是一个完全相反的方向。
I immediately pulled the vehicle to the side and re-entered the address of my hotel in Dubai.
然后我马上就把车停在旁边，把我在迪拜的那个旅馆的地址再打到导航系统里面。
Yet it continued to direct me in the same opposite direction.
但他还是在反方向来指我去另外一个地方。
And my son again called me and said that I was still going in the same wrong direction and I was getting close to Oman.
然后呢，当我这样开的时候，我的儿子就跟我讲，你还是开在错的地方，你就要到就快到阿曼了。
Without a doubt, it became clear to me that something was wrong with that particular car navigation system.
所以毫无疑问的，这个时候我就意识到这个导航系统啊，不管怎么样是出了问题了。
I then had to use my iPhone, which I had been sparingly using it due to the limited international plan that I had, to find my way back to the hotel.
那这个时候呢，我就不得不啊，把我不太使用的手机拿出来，因为我那个手机呢，是在这个迪拜这个在外地呢是没有啊，是缺乏这个国际计划的。
The lesson here is carry the trusted iPhone wherever you go.
那我学到的功课呢，就是不管你到哪里，要把这个你所信赖的 iPhone 带在身边。
To translate this into spiritual terms, carry everywhere the trusted Lord Jesus Christ as your internal map, and have the mind of Christ as your logic to follow that internal map, the Lord Jesus Christ.
那在属灵里面，我们转换来讲的话呢，就是这样。不管我们在哪里呢，都要带着这值得信赖的耶稣基督。作为你这个里面的地图，而且呢，以基督的心思来成为这个逻辑操作系统，来跟从这个这个里面的地图，也就是跟从我们的主耶稣基督。
One of the tragedies in the Christendom is that a great many are being lost in different ways, believing that they have a right internal map and right logic system.
那在基督教里面有一个悲剧呢，就是有许多许多的人，他们呢其实在很多事上都已经迷失掉了，但却以为却相信自己的这个里面的地图或者外面的操作系统还是对的。
The question for us now is twofold.
那今天我们所要面对的问题有两方面。
Firstly, is our objective paradigm, the pattern that we follow, right?
那第一件事就是这个客观的样式，我们所跟从的，它是正确的吗？
It can only be considered right when the Lord Jesus becomes our objective pattern, our guiding pattern.
除非主耶稣他成为我们那个客观的样式，成为我们跟随的那个模式或者榜样，这个时候这个客观的样式才能被认为是正确的。
Secondly, is our subjective paradigm, our logic right?
第二个就是我们的主观样式，我们的自己的这个思维是不是对的呢？
It can only be right when our mind is filled with the mind of Christ and use the logic of that mind of Christ.
那这个主观的样式唯有在我们的心思是被耶稣基督来充满的时候然后后面的这个想法跟逻辑才会是正确的。
We say we have the mind of Christ.
有的时候我们说我们有基督的心思了。
If so, are we sure we're using that mind of Christ and not the natural in every action and consistently?
那我们是不是非常的确定我们所用的真的是基督的心思，而不是那个天然的自然的我们的自己在每个行动上而且持续的这样去做决定。
We say we follow Jesus.
我们说我们是跟随耶稣的。
Are we sure it is the right Jesus?
那我们是不是跟随那个正确的耶稣呢？
Some follow a Jesus that is according to their own understanding.
有的人跟随的耶稣是根据他自己里面的想法。
Some follow a Jesus that has been portrayed by their parents, preachers, church, etc.
有的人虽然不是跟随自己的理解，但是他们跟随的就是或者老师或者传道人或者教会所描述的那个耶稣。
Some follow the historical Jesus, not really the resurrected Jesus.
有的人跟随的是历史上这个耶稣，但却没有跟随已经复活了的耶稣。
I will tell you a short story here.
我会跟大家讲一个很短的故事。
Once an evangelist asked a man,
有一次
What do you believe?
有一次一个宣教士呢，他就问一个人，就说你相信的是什么？
The man replied, I believe what my church believes.
啊，这个人回答就是我相信的就是我们教会所相信的。
And what does your church believe? The evangelist asked.
这个宣教士就继续来问，那你们教会所相信的是什么呢？
The man replied, whatever I believe.
啊，这个人就说，就是我所相信的呀。
And what do you both believe? The evangelist persisted.
然后这个宣教士就很坚持的来问，那你和教会所相信的是什么呢？
Why? We both believe the same thing.
这个人回答就说，你为什么这么问呢？因为我们信的是一件事啊。
With an evasive tone, the man brushed him off, avoiding further discussion.
那这个人呢，其实就在那里闪烁其词，在这里来把这个人好像摆到一边来避免下面的问题。
What we learn from this story and other illustrations that I will share later is that we are shaped according to our upbringing, beliefs we are taught, our surroundings, associations, culture, education.Church teachings, etc., and how we internalize these influences.
那我们从这个故事还有后面我们所要分享的这个说明里面所学到的，就是我们都被我们的成长环境被教导的，或者这个有关的事情，比如文化、教育教会的教导等等所塑造，而且成为我们内在的一个影响了。
This internalization is our subjective paradigm.
那这个里面的影响就成为了我们那个客观的样式。
To live a Christian life, our subjective paradigm ought to be the mind of Christ.
那要活出一个基督徒的生活，那我们这个主观的样式应该是基督的心思。
Only that can follow the objective paradigm Christ, who is, in other words, also the living word.
那只有这样我们才能够来跟随这个客观的样式就是这个活的话语，也是我们的主耶稣基督。
In the lives of certain Christians, their objective paradigm, no doubt, is Bible, but as the written word only, not truly as the living and abiding word.
那对于某些基督徒来说呢，他们的这个客观样式确实就是圣经，但是呢，这个圣经却只是字句上面的，而不是那个只是那个有形的话语，但不是那个活泼的话语，真正的生命。
The tangible word, whether written or heard, has to go into us and become the spirit and life in order for it to become the living and abiding word.
所以这个有形的话语呢不管是我们听到的或者读到的，必须要进到我们里面成为灵，成为生命，那这个时候呢才会成为住在我们里面的那个活的话语。
The written word or the wordheard by itself is not the living and abiding word.
光是我们所听到所读到的还不能成为住在我们里面那个活的话。
It means Bible is not the living word to everyone.
或者换一句话说，圣经不是对每个人来讲都是那个活的话语。
Let me put it this way.
那我再来这么讲。
When the new man reads it, it is the living word.
当一个新人来读这些话的时候，就是活的话。
And when the old man reads it, it is a written word.
但一个旧人来读的话，那只是字句而已。
I would like to tell you a story of a brother who held his particular paradigm with respect to the Bible.
那我跟大家讲一个故事，就是一个弟兄呢，他抓住了一个特定的样式，就是关乎这个圣经。
Prior to coming to USA,I lived in Bahrain with my family for 14 years.
那当我来到美国之前，我跟我的家人是在巴林岛在巴林这个地方住了14年。
There used to be a brother who was also from India.
在那里有一个弟兄也是从印度来的。
He attended the church regularly with his family.
他呢也与他的家人一同一直的来聚会在教会里面。
He would sincerely worship and pray in the church.
他在教会里面也非常真诚的来敬拜来祷告。
But he would not bring his Bible to the church.
但是他却不把圣经带到教会来。
The reason was he had his own paradigm regarding the Bible.
为什么呢？是因为他对于圣经来讲有他一个特定的样式。
His point of view is this: Bible is the word of God and sacred in nature.
那他对圣经的观点是这样的，因为圣经是神的话，所以是神圣的。
It should not be laid on the floor, nor should it be handled by an ordinary person.
它不能被摆在地上，或者被一个平常的人所触碰的。
In the church, we used to sit on the floor over the mats.
那在这个教会里面，我们经常是要坐在地毯上的。
Invariably, we had to lay the Bibles on the floor.
那不可改变的一件事就是我们要把这个圣经摆在地上。
This dear brother was uncomfortable with the idea of carrying the Bible to the church because he would have to lay it on the floor.
那这个弟兄他就非常的不愿意把圣经带到教会来，因为他知道带来之后要把圣经摆在地上的。
This dear brother's subjective paradigms are derived from his old mind, religious mind, not from the mind of Christ.
所以这个弟兄他的主观的样式呢，是他那个宗教的思想，不是从主而来的。
And the objective paradigm of our brother was the written word, not truly the living word.
那对这个弟兄来讲，他的客观样式呢，就是那些字句，而不是那个活的话。
This is old man's life, although it may look impressive externally.
那这个就是这个旧人的生命，虽然从外面来看好像让人很就是印象很深。
Dear brothers and sisters, we have to be saved from our several old paradigms which have no value before God and are damaging our testimony before the world.
弟兄姐妹们，我们必须从我们许多的旧的样式里面出来，因为这些旧样式在神的面前是没有价值的，而且会损害我们在世人面前的见证。
Christian life is twofold.
基督徒的生活有两方面。
One is life within, and the other is testimony without.
第一个是我们里面的生命，第二个呢，就是活出来在外面的见证。
One cannot be truly without the other.
其中他们两个都是密不可分的，
life,
缺一不可的。
Life and testimony are inseparable.
这个生命跟见证是不能分开的。
Regrettably, we often witness people who overly focus on the inner life while their outer testimony falls wayside.
那相反的，我们经常会观察到一些信主的人，他们呢可能有的时候非常注重里面的生命，但是在外面却缺乏见证。
Conversely, there are those who focus on their outer testimony, all that which may not be the reflection of their inner life.
那另外一方面呢，就是有些基督徒他们很注重在外面的一些动作或者表现，但是呢却忽略了里面的生命。
Our discussion about right paradigms should be understood as the result of the inner life.
所以关于这个正确样式的我们的讨论跟理解呢，应该是讲到内在生命的一个结果。
In other words, right paradigmsare the result of a divine paradigm shift in our life, which is letting go our old life and letting in the new life.
换句话说， 这个正确的样式呢，就是我们生命里面要弃掉那些旧的生命，来接受新的生命。因为这个神圣的，这是一个神圣的样式的转变，然后才会有正确的结果。
We all inherit or develop certain paradigms in our lives, such as,
我们都继承了，或者说不知道如何形成了某些特定的样式。
Slide 13, please.
下面。
Religious paradigms, cultural paradigms, celebration paradigms, clothing paradigms, entertainment paradigms, food paradigms, gender paradigms, and many other.
比如说宗教的样式，比如说文化的样式，比如说节庆的样式，衣着的样式，娱乐的样式，饮食的样式，性别的样式，或者许多其他的。
We need a paradigm shift from all of them.
我们需要从所有这些样式里面有一个转变。
I would like to tell you another story of a sister who experienced a paradigm shift in the matter of food.
那我再跟大家讲一个故事，就是一个姐妹啊，她在饮食的样式上面有了一个转变。
There were two Hindu convert sisters serving the Lord full time along with Brother Bhakt Singh, a servant of God in India.
有两个从印度教里面回转的姐妹们，她们呢是全时间的与在印度服侍的这个神的仆人巴信弟兄一起。
Due to their Hindu background, they did not eat beef before their conversion.
所以在他们得救之前呢，在印度教的传统里面，他们是不吃牛肉的。
After conversion, one would eat beef and another would not.
那信主之后呢，一个姐妹就开始吃牛肉了，但另外一个姐妹还是不吃。
One day, at the dining table, the sister who would not eat beef mentioned, "I don't eat beef."
那有一次呢，就在这个餐桌前面，这个其中一个姐妹就说我不吃牛肉。
In response, Brother Bhakt Singh commented, "She is not fully converted."
然后呢，在这个回应里面，巴信弟兄就说了这么一句话，他说他是没有完全得救的。
Our brother's comment was not to criticize, but to educate.
那我们弟兄他讲的这句话不是来指责，而是来教导。
Later on, this sister experienced a paradigm shift on this matter, similar to that of Peter's in the book of Acts, chapter 10.
那在这个之后呢，这个姐妹就经历了样式的转变，就像彼得在《使徒行传》第十章所经历的那个转变。
She then led other believers in similar situation to embrace eating beef to which they were not accustomed due to their cultural backgrounds, family traditions, personal habits, etc.
所以在这个之后，这个姐妹就来帮助其他在同样情形里面的弟兄姐妹们，让他们不要再这样坚持以前的那些文化上或者家庭的传统上或者是自己的个人习惯上的那些样式。
We as the children of God are in need of having right paradigms.
我们作为神的儿女，我们需要有一个正确的样式。
Without having a divine spiritual paradigm shift, we cannot possess right paradigms.
如果在我们生命里面没有那个神圣的样式的转变的话，那我们也不能获得或者拥有这些正确的样式。
This divine spiritual paradigm shift occurs when we receive the Lord Jesus into our hearts.
那这个神圣的样式的转变呢，就是当我们接受耶稣基督到我们里面的时候开始的。
Consequently, we will reject the old paradigms that belong to the old life that we had been following and embrace new paradigms that belong to new life.
那这个结果是什么呢？就是我们开始来离弃那些旧的样式，而且呢这些旧的样式其实是在旧人里面的，这个时候我们就可以来跟从，来拥抱这些新的样式，这新的样式是在新的生命里面的。
This is what it means by 2 Corinthians 5:17.
这就是哥林多后书五章十七节里面所要讲的。
14, please. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, old paradigms are passed away. Behold, all things, all paradigms are become new.
啊，这里面所讲的就是，若有人在基督里，他就是新造的人，旧的样式已过。都变成新的样式了。
Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord is calling us to change our paradigms.
弟兄姐妹们，现在主就在这里来呼召我们，来转变我们的样式。
Unfortunately, many a Christian who have accepted Christ into their lives still cling to their old paradigms.
但很不幸的是，很多基督徒啊，他们接受了基督成为他们生命之后呢，却还是抓紧那些旧的样式。
They may be unaware that their traditional and cultural paradigms continue to influence their beliefs, behaviors, and overall approach to life.
他们没有意识到啊。这个传统的或者文化上的样式呢，还是在那里持续的来影响他们的信仰，他们的行动，还有在生活上任何事的那些取舍。
This hinders their personal relationship with the Lord and their testimony before the world, which they may sadly be unaware of.
那这件事呢，就阻挡了他们与神这个个人的关系。而且呢，还有他们在世人面前那个见证。
Unfortunately, they then pass these paradigms to their children, society, and the church.
而且更不幸的是呢，他们就把这样的这些样式呢，就传给了孩子们，传到社区的里面，也传到教会。
Despite the churches emphasizing the need for youth revival.I believe that true revival should begin with parents themselves developing right paradigms.
Amen. 所以呢，在教会里面，很多时候我们要强调属灵，这个年轻的孩子们里面属灵的复兴。但其实我觉得，我们真正的复兴呢，应该是我们这些。我们自己做父母的，我们里面能够形成这些正确的样式。
Brother Watchmanney shared a story from nature as an illustration to show how to raise our young ones.
那尼托生弟兄呢，曾经用一个自然界的一个故事，来讲到，来描述怎么样来抚养我们的年轻人。
This is the story.
这个就是这个故事。
In an ocean, you find a mother fish.
在海洋里面，你看到一个鱼妈妈。
And under its belly are the baby fish.
然后在它的这个腹下面，在它的这个身体下面呢，就是这些baby 的鱼。
The mother fish would not let its baby fish venture into the ocean world until she feels they're ready.
那这个鱼妈妈吗？鱼妈妈呢，不会带着这些这个 baby 的鱼呢，到那个真正的海洋的环境里面，除非她知道那个地方是安全的。
The mother fish knows that if the baby fish were to enter into the ocean world before she has trained them, they would not be able to face the challenges of the ocean world, and she would not be able to.Fetch them back either.
因为这个鱼妈妈她知道，如果她还没有训练这些婴儿，而且呢，没有训练这些婴儿，这些婴儿是不可能面对那个海洋世界里面这些挑战。而且呢，很多时候这个妈妈是来不及把这些孩子再带回到身边的。
Prematurely exposing the children to the world without adequate teaching and training can leave them vulnerable.To a wide variety of risks and challenges.
所以，如果我们过早的让孩子们进到世界里面，被暴露在世界下面的话，如果缺乏足够的教导，缺乏足够的训练，那他们 会在这个世界里面很脆弱，会面对很多挑战。
These may include giving in to social pressures.
这里面包括比如说对社交的压力的屈服。
Facing academic difficulties.
在面对学业困难的时候。
Facing physical harm.
对人身伤害的时候。
Experiencing emotional distress.
在情绪上面受扰乱的时候。
Undergoing spiritual deterioration and more.
在这个属灵里面衰退的时候。还有更多的。
Therefore, it is crucial for parents to have a proper understanding of their children's individuals' needs and abilities and provide them with the necessary level of support and guidance as they navigate the complexity of the world around them.
所以呢，这个是非常非常重要的事情。作为父母呢，我们需要对着孩子他个人的需要和能力有一个非常深的理解，然后呢，给他们这个足够的适当的这个教导还有训练，然后他们才能在这个复杂的世界里面来行走。
Rushing them out of the doors deprives them of valuable opportunities to learn from parents.
如果让他们过早的就进到世界的话，其实我们剥夺了他们一个很宝贵的机会，就是在父母面前先来学习。
This can adversely affect their spiritual, psychological, and even physical growth.
这个时候，在孩子的属灵上、心理上、甚至身体上的成长，都会带来非常不利的、有害的影响。
This can unnecessarily make their transition into adulthood more difficult than it needs to be.
所以，这个会让孩子们成年这件事呢，比他应该所有的那个情形呢，要困难的多。
Just as the mother fish instinctively uses its innate nature to discern the manner of raising its young ones until they are capable of being independent, as believers, we need to rely on our inward divine life's nature to discern the manner of raising our young ones until they are capable of being independent.
所以就像鱼妈妈一样，她是使用了这个天生的直觉来鉴别，来寻找这个抚养年轻的这些孩子们的那个方式，直到他们能够可以独立的来面对一切的时候。那作为信主的人，我们需要呢，就是依靠我们里面那个神圣的生命来鉴别抚养孩子的这些方式，而且直到他们可以真正的独立。
Likewise, parents need to prepare their children for baptism as well.
同样的，我们父母也要为孩子将来的受浸而预备。
They should exercise discernment and ensure that they are capable of exercising their own faith before proceeding with their baptism.
所以呢，我们要来操练这个鉴别，这个时候呢，我们也要来确定我们的孩子们，他们是可以能够来操练他们自己里面的信心，尤其是在这个进入受浸之前。
May we as parents assume the responsibility of cultivating right paradigms in our lives as we raise our children and ensure to pass them on to them who will in turn pass them on to the future generations.
所以愿意我们这些做父母的，我们来担起这样一个把正确的样式来耕种在孩子们里面的责任，而且呢确定他传递给他们之后，让他们也可以把这些传递到他们下面的世代。
Slide 15, please.
下面。
I would highly recommend these valuable books by Watchman Nee that contain basic lessons that are essential for understanding proper Christian paradigms.
那我强烈的向大家建议，就是有尼托生弟兄所写的这个初信造就的这些书，这个里面讲到的就是我们怎么样来学习来了解在基督徒生命里面那些正确的样式。
Paradigms such as marriage paradigm, mating paradigm, friendship paradigm, recreation paradigm, clothing paradigm, eating paradigm, head covering paradigm, etc.
这里面讲到的样式有婚姻的样式、交友的样式、交朋友的样式、消遣的样式、衣着的样式、饮食的样式、蒙头的样式等等。
There are 48 lessons in English in 6 of these volumes.
在英文里面有六册，里面讲到有48课、48种的样式。
In Chinese, there are 50 lessons.50 lessons in these three volumes.
那在中文里面有三册，里面有50课。
Free copies of these books in English and Chinese are available in our book room.
那在我们的图书室里面，有那些可以大家免费去拿的《初信造就》的，中文和英文都有。
Both simplified as well as traditional versions of Chinese books are available.
那这些书里面，不光是有中文简体的，也有繁体的。
We have more copies of the simplified version.
那我们的简体的这个数量会更多一点。
Please feel free to pick them up for yourself and or to give to someone else.
那请大家自由的去取用，为着我们自己或者为着其他人。
They're stacked in sets. They're stacked in sets.
Oh, okay. 他们是已经把每一册都已经这么放好的。
So kindly pick them up as a set or sets.
那请大家就去拿一册也好，多册也好。
As I said, English set has 6 volumes, and Chinese set has 3 volumes.
那我刚才已经讲到了，这个英文里面呢有6小册，那中文里面呢有3册。
I read these lessons to my son right early and raised him by them.
那在我儿子小的时候，我就跟他来读，在抚养他的时候。
After our daughter-in-law came to our house, I made her read these lessons in our daily family prayers.
那当我的媳妇进到我们家之后，我们就来读这些这个书上的这些每一个课程，成为我们每一天的祷告的内容。
She was amazed to know what Christian paradigms really were.
然后呢，我的这个媳妇就非常的惊奇，看到了基督徒原来应有的这些样式。
We have witnessed transformation.In several areas of her life, after reading these lessons,
那我们也在她的身上见到了读了这些课程之后，她那个生命里面很多样式的转变。
She is now passing the same to her parents.
现在她也把这个传递给她自己的父母。
She talks to her mother in India over the phone every day for a length of time, sharing what Christian.Life truly is, and what Christian paradigms truly are.
他每一天都花很多时间跟他在印度的妈妈来打电话，来跟他分享什么是真正的基督徒生活，什么是正确的基督徒的样式。
Please read these books for yourself and for your family.
所以，请大家来为着自己，也为着我们的家来读。这些初信造就的题目。
You may begin reading with the lessons that are more pertinent to your current needs.
也许你可以先从与你有关的那些样式的来读。
If you read one lesson a week, you will complete them in a year if the Lord tarries.
那如果主延迟他再来的话，我们每周读一课，这50课可以读一年，读完。
May our Heavenly Father impress His Word upon our hearts to change our paradigms before the Lord comes. Amen.
Amen. 所以愿我们的天父在主再来之前把这些话印在我们里面，印在我们的心里，而且来改变我们的样式。